91. We're missing one in that group, aren't we? It's supposed to be a quartet, not a trio, right? Oh, no, wait, we could probably make it a... Yeah, Dan. Dan, why don't we do that again? Why don't we sing that again, Dan? Is that okay? Oh, boy. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. I'm trying to fix something. I'm typing while I'm... It's a work in progress. Psalm 91. Let's read 16 verses of Scripture. Fair enough. Psalm 91. They're on my face. There they are. I was looking all over for them. I found them. They're right there. Noah, you'll get there one day. Psalm 91, verse 1. Amen. We all there? He, that's not gender specific, just letting you know before we get too far started, this is all inclusive. It's not Father's Day, it's all our day, because it's all His day. He that dwelleth in the secret place, definite article, the, not a, the. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely, surely, He shall deliver. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That sound familiar? Old Slewfoot said that to the Lord in the wilderness. Took Scripture, misquoted it by the way. Took Scripture and misquoted it to the Lord. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because He hath set His love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Father, we'd ask You to help us today. Thank You for what You've done already. Things that we've heard in song, things that we've seen. And we pray, Lord, that You'd help us today, Lord. This is our time that we open up the Word of God. We study the Word of God. We're not looking for anything special, but just reiterating again and reinforcing who You are. Lord, there may be by chance somebody in here that doesn't know You as Savior. We've said enough already from Your Word that points right to You. So I pray that You'd give us the eye of faith as believers to see You clearer, and those that may not know You to see You for the first time. Thank you for all that you do for us. Help us, I plead today. Thank you for the word of God, the fellowship of the believers. And Lord, as always, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Forgive us where we fail you. Help us, Lord. Magnify yourself through preaching this morning, I plea. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, again this week, the Lord didn't just lay a verse on my heart. I don't know if I have a habit of doing that, but I try on Monday to just kind of, you know, start the week. I don't know for you. I mean, Sunday ends. Sunday's the first day of the week. For me, in my mind sometimes, it's the last, because then I have to start that. You know, as a preacher, you can do what you want. You can get up and never read your Bible. You can get up and never have it. And I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying, you have that privilege. You have that pleasure. I guess some preachers as well do. They can just use ChatGPT. Is that what it is? And just say, hey, ChatGPT, give me a message on. And then they just do that. I have a friend that has a website where he puts all kinds of information out on it. And he says, basically, sermon stuff, sermon preparation, all that kind of stuff. Guess when the traffic is the busiest? Saturday night, go figure, huh? And so Monday starts off for me, and I try and chart the course. I'm going to have three messages, and, you know, I'm trying to, Lord, what do you have for me this week? And that's what I've been doing for a while, and every once in a while, He'll put something on my heart, and it may sometimes be for me, sometimes for other people. And so He did that again this week. He didn't lay a verse on my heart this week. He laid rather a passage. This passage for me has always, I shouldn't say always, but after some noisome pestilence and the fowler's snare in my life, I started running to that because of what I would call the benefits of it. There's so much truth in Scripture. We live by faith. We walk by faith. One day we'll walk by sight. Until we walk by sight, we have to walk by faith, and we have faith in the Word of God. As we've been learning on Wednesday night, it's God-inspired. God breathed it, and He breathed it for us so that we could utilize it and we could be benefited by it. I'm glad He didn't leave us alone. I'm glad that He fulfilled His promise to the disciples in the garden when He said, I won't leave you comfortless. He didn't only not leave us comfortless, He didn't leave us without anything to follow. Don't ever take that for granted. There are some countries that would love to just have a page. Some people in the world that would just love to have a copy in their own language. We have them. We have multiple ones. And so this week He laid a passage upon my heart. It's been a very special passage for me through the years. I'll keep doing this. That is, no, sit. Dan come up to me and he said, we have a series today. And I said, no, or is it a one and done? I think you asked me if it's a one and done. I don't know if it's a one and done, but it is a one. I don't know if it's done. It could be applied. And so I'll keep doing this as long as he does. At the Wednesday night Bible study, talking about the Word of God, I referenced concerning the Word of God some very important things about the Word of God. And that was, we are to study it. It's important for us to study it. You're going to find things in it. Phrases, words. Go in depth with those words. Find out how many times they were referenced. Find out what we possess as the children of God, if you will. Study the Word of God. Second, we looked at continue in it. Don't just look at it one time. Well, yep, got it. I'm saved, got it. Put that up on the shelf right there, and I won't need it again. No, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live by. There might be something that He needs to help you with before you go to bed. There might need be, I don't know if you've ever been woken up in the middle of the night with a verse of Scripture. Samuel was. And look what happened to Samuel when he paid attention. And then we as well looked at the other aspect of it, and there were several we looked at on Monday night or Wednesday night. The other one was, we are to meditate on it. Now we hear that meditation word and we think we're supposed to get in a yoga position, and it is just that word, that phrase, that verse, that passage, that story, we continue to, can I just say this, chew on it, think about it, see what application it has. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been in places, locations in the Bible just from reading it. I want to be in that house the day they pulled the tiles off. I want to be in that press and see that woman with the issue of blood walk through that press and touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. You can be there if you'll spend enough time and just meditate on it. Look around, see what's taking place. Read every verse, read every little word, read every little thing that takes place. The Bible, one preacher said, is so deep, there's no bucket that could ever draw all the water from it. I don't know how many times I've preached out of Psalm 91. If I go into my little cloud category, I've got several passages on verses, on the whole passage. I don't know, it was 20-something when we were, 5 years to go through the Psalms. I was in Psalm 91, and I'll go back and I'll look at things. And so the other thing I said Wednesday was we're to meditate upon it. This week, that is exactly what I did. And I meditated upon this psalm. I listened to it in the truck when I'd come to work. I'd chew on little verses of Scripture. I'd keep it up on my computer in my office, and I just continued to look at it and began to start looking, man, what is in there? God, what's in there that you'd like me to see? Is there something, a benefit to me? Is there a cup of cool water? Is there protection or whatever there may be? Do that with your Bible. Can I just say that? Fall in love with your Bible. Read it. Get encouraged by it. I mean, have a relationship with it. Thank you. And so that is exactly what I did this week. I meditated upon the psalm and the, can I call them, I'll call them this as a key word for the Timothy guys. I looked at the characteristics that the psalmist shared with us in regard to what he found while in his secret place. He described it. Do you remember when the Queen of Sheba saw Solomon's temple? She had heard descriptions of it. And she said, wow. She got in there and she started looking around. She said, man, the half ain't even been told. Can I say this as a prelude? I'm not going deep this morning. I've gotten in my mind here in recent days. I think I go too deep. I think sometimes it's I'm bottle feeding adults. Can I just say that? I'm going to go shallow, hopefully whetting somebody's appetite. I've never been to the Biltmore House in North Carolina. I've heard people describe it. There's a lot of places I've never been. I've heard people describe it. I'd like to go there one time. Can I say this? Week after week in this pulpit, there's a description of Him. There's a description of places you can find in Him. I want to whet your appetite this morning so that you'll go back and find that. The Queen of Sheba saw Solomon's temple in all his array, and she said, the half has not even been told. Why did she say that? Because once she got there herself, she saw so much more. Don't sit in church and just depend upon a preacher to tell you what he is. Don't fellowship with somebody. Don't have a close personal friend and they tell you and they describe to you of their relationship. If they do and you're a young Christian in the Lord, it ought to whet your appetite to say, can I have that? Mom, Dad, can I say this? Your children may not ever be any more spiritual than you are. You should be whetting their appetite. They should see you in you. Just as we say of couples, you know, a lot of times marriages are duplicated after the marriages they saw in their own home. That's a heavy thing, isn't it? That starts hurting, don't it? Us older folks in here. Many times your children's relationship will be a reflection of what they saw with you. Give them something to see. Let them see you every once in a while reading your Bible. Let them see you every once in a while. Maybe walk into wherever and you're praying. They ought to know that you have a personal relationship with Him. I'm sure David's mighty men saw him from time to time praying in that cave, doing whatever he was doing, and it developed in them a desire. I want to whet your appetite this morning. I just want to share with you this morning some things I saw. Hopefully it'll help you dig in there and see if you can find something. The greatest preacher is one that can draw attention to the Word of God and whet your appetite enough to go, can I find something in there? One of the reasons I like to get as deep, for me anyway, and some of the things that I see in there is because I sat under a man, I'll never forget sitting under a preacher that would read a passage of Scripture and I'd go, what in the, how, I never even saw that before. But he'd whet your appetite enough. I can't imagine what the Queen of Sheba must have said when she went back. She began describing to those that didn't go what she saw when she did go. You ever sat down and described to anybody else what it's like to be a Christian? I was listening to something this morning that said, church growth, 75% of church growth, you know where it comes from? The pew. And you know who it connects to? Friends and family. Man, when I heard that, I thought to myself, man, do I have friends in church? Do I have family in church? As a result of what I saw in my own little place and described to them, what did the woman at the well say? Do you remember when she left? What's the first words out of her mouth when she went down into that city? Come see a man who told me all things. Is not this the Christ? Don't take it for granted when you read your Bible the description of what other authors are writing to you in their relationship. At least have enough of your own relationship that you could at least pass it on to your children or your friends or your family. So I want to look at some characteristics that the psalmist shared with us in regard to what he found while he was in his secret place. First, I think it's important for us to at least define what the secret place is. The secret place here, if we go from the definition of this word, he that dwelleth in the definite article, secret place of the Most High, that word secret place means a cover, whether in a good or a bad, literal or figurative sense. It means a hiding place. It means protection. It means secret. It is found 36 times in Scripture, and it's translated into other words sometimes, but specifically here it's referred to as the secret place. Found 36 times in Scripture, the Psalms record the use of that word more times than anywhere else in Scripture. Job is tied for second with two other books, both five times. Deuteronomy and Isaiah reference that word five times, and there you go, Deuteronomy. Wasn't just the giving of the law, but it was the giving of the law keeper, or the law giver, shall I say. And when you know what there is in law? Can I just say this? There's protection. Our government shouldn't be mingling in the things that they mingle in. They should provide a place of protection. And so why wouldn't you find a hiding place in the law? And the other place is Isaiah, and that's typical of the Scripture, 66 chapters in Isaiah. They each had it five times. Psalms uses that phrase 10 times. It is encouraging to read them and see what others said about the secret place. I'd like to just share a few I found encouraging so as to lay a foundation concerning this place that David speaks of. Psalm 27:5. The psalmist said, "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Now we could preach a message there on who that rock was. Psalm 31:20 says this, "Thou shalt hide them." Not just this. Can I just say this? I hope I don't get too far ahead of myself. This is available for anybody. If you're in here this morning, you don't have a place. And I'm not talking about here. I'm just talking about a place. There ought to be a place that you can go to that you find a covering, you find protection, you find peace, comfort, all that. When the disciples were troubled, Jesus knew they were troubled. Why? Because they had found something. They had found their voice, probably, because Rome had taken their voice away from. It's amazing to me how many Christians have lost their voice. Lost their confidence. Our confidence is not in the flesh. We see that in Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. There was a confidence about those children. You know why? They probably had found the secret place. Psalm 31:20, thou shalt hide them in the secret place of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. I'm amazed sometimes. I said to my wife, I'll just share this personal love it moment. She'll get on that social media sometimes, don't we all? And she'll say, did you see this? I said, no, I didn't. No, why I didn't see it? Because I deleted them, unfriended them, blocked them, got away from them a long time ago. Because this place I'm talking about, it's not a location. You know, where you can just go in there and shut the door. Yes, Jesus said we ought to have a closet and we ought to go into a closet. But this is not a place, it's a person. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, if you won't figure it out, if you don't want to figure it out, then pastor. You'll figure it out soon enough when you've got about 14,000 different voices coming at you. Amen. That was free. That's fine. You don't have to pay me for that one at all. Oh, Psalm 32:7. The psalmist said, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Another thing I say to my wife sometimes, and when she'll say, did you hear that? And I'll say, no, it's just all white noise. It's just that. Doesn't even make sense. You know, I can look at some people sometimes and they can just be talking away. I'm sorry. Maybe it's just me. I'm going to share this with you. They can just be, not any of y'all. No. I'm a pastor. Everything you say right there just has found a resting place. But when I'm not pastoring and I'm out there and she'll say, did you hear that? And I say, no, it's all white noise to me. Them old dial radios, you know those old dial radios, that noise in between stations? I'm trying to help somebody this morning. Maybe I'm just helping me. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with the songs of deliverance. Psalm 61:4. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert. There's that word. He uses secret or the secret in Psalm 27 and 31. In Psalm 32:7, that word is translated to my hiding place or hiding. It's a covering. It's a place of protection. Psalm 61, the word is used covert. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Psalm 119 and 114, the Bible says, thou art my hiding place. Here it is again. Instead of the secret place, it's called the hiding or my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Four times in Scripture we see that phrase, hiding place, twice referencing the Lord as a hiding place. And let me say this morning so we're not mistaken, as I already said this. This is not necessarily a place. Don't. Pastor's talking about this place. I wish I could find this place where we can all go to and pay membership into and all that. This is not a place as much as it is a person. You may have to go to a place to find the place and the person to get away from all the other stuff. You know why a lot of people don't have a close relationship with the Lord? Because they're too concerned about the face-to-face one that they see around. In order to be able to have a good face-to-face one, you have to have a good personal one when no one else is around. Amen. That was free too. It's free. What did Oprah say? Everybody gets one. Reach under your seat this morning. There's something special for you. Oh boy. Many may have heard of a woman by the name of Corrie ten Boom. Anybody ever heard that name before? She was a Dutch young lady. I believe she was a watchmaker too. I don't know how that all worked out. I didn't study too much of her life, but she was a Dutch young lady from the Netherlands who became famous for her story of hiding Jews during the Holocaust. How many have heard? Several have heard that name. Good book for your children to read. She spent time in a concentration camp. She later wrote the book, The Hiding Place, which later went on to be made into a film. You can't find it. It's interesting to me. You can't find it on all those apps. You got to find it on YouTube. I found it on YouTube. I began to start watching that just to refresh my memory. But went on to be a movie later on documenting her family and what they did to hide Jewish people in their homes during the Holocaust. I encourage you to read or watch that, at least for your children. Or maybe not. They may see how soft you are in your faith. Can you imagine sitting down with your children? I'm not talking about, we'd love to sit down Marvel Comics and all those other worldly shows. Just sit down with them and watch that one. And but be careful, because then they might look at you when you have all your little problems and say, well, what made this woman so much stronger? I see you. Dad, I see you just sit there and mumble and grumble and complain and everything else. This woman lived in a concentration camp. Strong faith. You think she had a hiding place? Did Bible studies in the concentration camp. I'm telling you what, that was convicting to me. I wonder what I'd do in the same situation. Trying to hide people from slaughter and, well, it's not my circus, not my monkey. I watch people in church sometimes don't even get involved with doctrinal issues where they need to take a stand. And then we read the Corey Tenenbaum story. Can I ask a question before we go any further? If anybody's still with me. We do have a closet Jacob spoke of back there. It has medications, headache prescription medications, washcloths, things like that, if somebody's getting green in the gills this morning. Just smile, please. Something. Who was it? David, you got up here. It's a rough crowd to look at, isn't it, David, when you got up here? Yeah. You don't have to say nothing. I got it. I got you. Can I ask a question before we go any further? Yes, Pastor, I'd love to answer your question. Love to answer your question. Do you need the question before you say whether you want to answer it or not? Is that what we're waiting for? As we have read this portion of Scripture and read what transpired in the psalmist's life and the testimony he had of his secret place, let me ask you this. Do you have one? That's not too much to ask, is it? If you've been saved in here more than 5 years, raise your hand. Oh my goodness, look at all the hands. Don't raise your hand for this one, raise your heart. Do you have a secret place? You should. Reading David's secret place and all the characteristics that you find there, you know what it ought to do? It ought to chase you to that place. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, listen to the woman at the well. We're not talking about she began a Bible study in the community that she was in and invited people to share with them what she found at the well 6 months ago. She immediately walks down from that mountain where Jacob's well was and says these words. If I can just take, maybe they're, well, preacher, you know our Bible. She probably said a whole lot more things than that. We don't really know how long it took place. No, she said, come see a man who told me all things. Is not this the Christ? Disciples return. Upon their return, Jesus says, lift up your eyes and look under the fields. They're white already under harvest. Those people were coming by the droves based upon a few words that woman said that she found when she left her bucket at the well. That's convicting. When's the last time you shared your secret place with somebody else? And they said, really? Does anybody have people at work that are troubled? Does anybody have family members that could use an encouraging word? What are you sharing with them? You can't share something you don't have. You have to. Oh my goodness, look at how many have ever been encouraged by reading Psalm 91? Can you imagine if David, the other ones you haven't, or you just haven't read it? Okay, I was just curious. I mean, can somebody go home and say to their family without you ever knowing it, well, how was today? I'll tell you what, it started out bad. But Noah, we were at the water fountain. I just began to share a little bit with him of my day. Hypothetical, I know you're not at job, so yeah. I was just trying to use you so somebody else don't get their knickers in a wad. And I was at work, and Noah came up to me, and he asked me how I was doing, and I don't know, he had such a smile on his face. And he seemed so sincere about how I was doing. And I began to open up to him, and I'm going to tell you what, he shared some things with me, and I'm going to try him. He had such a joy on his face. He had such a satisfaction in his heart that I said, you know, I'm going to try this and see if it works. That ought to be a weekly, monthly, yearly thing for us out there. We're living in a world that's spinning out of control. They need a secret place as much as we need a secret place. David shares the characteristics of his secret place with us. Do you have one? And if you don't, shame on you. Corrie ten Boom, and here's another one, Anne Frank. Anybody remember Anne Frank? Both famous for their secret places. Hiding places, if you will, that they were able to hide from and hide others in or from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. You think there's any fowlers out there today? The snare of the fowler was literally just a net. You've probably seen them before with doves or species. I watch hunting shows and they'll shoot these cannon nets and it'll just get them. That's a fowler. He's catching fowl, if you will, or the noisome pestilence. And they were hiding people from that. We should hide our children from those things, shouldn't we? Can I tell you how many children statistically kill themselves being on social media, Brother Baldwin? You know why? Because the snare of the fowler. It's interesting to me why it's called a worldwide. You'll need a hiding place for that. And listen, young people, I know mom and dad might keep you from that, but sooner or later, no, I'll give you an example again. I'm going to use you this morning. One of these days you won't be in the home. I don't know what the rules are in the home right now. One of these days you'll be at Verizon, Telcom, whatever these places are called. And all of a sudden, you'll have a net in your hand. And if you haven't been familiar with how to use that, I recommend probably not even doing it, but it's really hard to navigate today. I pay my bills through that thing. I email. I can talk to a missionary halfway across the world in time, just like that. And so you're going to have to learn how to use it, because that same thing that you can use for benefit and God's glory will be the same thing, if you're not careful, will snare you. You'll sit there and you'll say something, you'll post something, you'll do something, you'll get an email thread at work, whatever. I went out to eat with one of my children the other day, and constantly on their phone and laughing, giggling, mad at times, flipping through the email correspondence at work, chat rooms, Zoom rooms, whatever they are, sometimes, because you work with these people. You have to be protected from that. Corrie ten Boom, Anne Frank had that from the people they hid. We needed to hide people from. Remember, we're supposed to bear one another's burdens till they can get to a place where they bear their own burden. Sometimes you have to get around them and say, you don't need to listen to that. David writes this psalm describing his place, which leaves for us a description of not only his place, but the place that others may find. With that being said, I want to preach a simple thought that I pray may help someone this morning on the secret place. Can I ask another question before we see the characteristics that David gave of this place? And I ask it again, and I will continue to ask it. Do you have a secret place? Not does my mom have one, not does my dad have one, not does my friend have one, not does the pastor have one, but do you have a secret place? Can you describe it to me? If we were to just take a poll after services and I said, we're going to interview people afterwards, could you just come in my office real quick and describe five things that you found in your secret place? Could you do it? Well, give me a second. I'm going to have to Google that. You ought to be able to give someone else a secret. David said, oh, taste and see. You ever had somebody around the house cooking something, making something? Libby said to me yesterday, I was sitting there, I had already had my 2 glasses of milk ice milk. I had already had my, gas prices are high. I can't get the original Nutter Butters. Fuel is expensive right now. Amen? So I've had to trim some corners since I have a lot of sweets at night. One area I've trimmed corners in, Nutter Butters versus peanut butter whatevers at Aldi. They're not shaped like Mr. Peanut. They're just round. But after you eat them for a while and you distance yourself from the real thing, they can still taste good. Everybody, anybody with me? See what I'm doing to you right now? I'm describing something to you. I describe a Nutter Butter and some of y'all go, yeah, I do like those things. She pulled this thing, I don't know. I'm not being mean when I say this. I think everybody in the Lovett Cook Hacienda homes realize, Mom, stick with the roast and the food. What is it called? One's desserts and baking versus cooking. Mom, stick with the cooking. Miss Miller, she has tried to make your brown. We were in Sam's. Is it Sam's? Where's Miss Miller? Where'd she go today? Miss Miller. We were in Sam's one day, and she said, I know you like Miss Miller's brownies. She told me where to get the brownie mix. Yeah. She sat there. Man, she sat there, Lindsay. She sat there, and she said, well, don't do that to me. I have to be honest, right? I can't lie. Needless to say, we're still trying. I said, why don't you get with Miss Miller? Maybe she navigate, you know? Can you describe your secret place to somebody else to where they want to have one? Let me give you some characteristics real quick. I just want to whet your appetite. I'm not deep diving into this. The first characteristic of the secret place that I see from David's point of view is the people of the place. Look at this. Verse 1a, he, that's why I started off with, it's not gender specific. Ladies, if you read this and say, well, it looks like only guys can find that place. No. No, yes, the Bible is written in a more masculine tone, but it is so all-inclusive. We see the people of the place, he that dwelleth in the secret place. David shares this very intimate look into the secret place he found in the Lord. But in doing so, he shares the first characteristic of that place, and it is the people of the place. The people of the secret place, can I say this, is anyone wanting to. I've been in this thing called walking with God for a couple of minutes. You know, one of the things that I've found for those that make it, they have found the secret place. I cannot, for the life of me, get my head around this crowd that deconstructs their faith. I could not even. Do you know? I don't know if anybody else has ever done this. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I got some problems. I've tried to argue with God before. I've taken verses to God and argued the validity of them. I did that. I tried that. I was doing that. You know what I was met with? A chuckle. Oh, Michael. A chuckle. How can these people do? There was somebody, I was in my circle, you know, people share things every once in a while, and somebody shared a video of a fairly well-known preacher, and he's now making videos that he's this, that, and the other thing, and he's not a believer anymore. And I'm sitting here thinking, and listening to him, though, this is the conclusion I can draw from it. Yeah, he never got close enough. He took somebody else's word for that. Do you know why a lot of young people leave the church after they get older? Because all they have to go on is your word. People say, man, preacher's hard on leaders. Yeah, you better know why I'm hard. Do you know why? They're watching you. They're watching us. They're seeing how this thing unfolds. You stand up there preaching. You use these verses of Scripture. You say these things. I want to see when you're met with the pestilence, when you're met with the fowler, when you're met with trials, when you're met with troubles, when you're met with difficulties, when you're met with discouragement, how are you doing with it? Then if I see how you're doing with it, then I'll sit there and say in my situation, God, where is the God? What did Elisha say? What did Elisha say when he got in difficulties? Has anybody got a Bible? Jacob? He said, where is the God of Elijah? You know what he was saying? I watched Elijah go through a lot of stuff. Now I'm in something. Where is he? Want to know why so many young people depart from the faith? Because they just saw a little bit of yours. And it wasn't, I'm going to tell you what, if I was sitting there, I don't know, this is just my characteristic. If I was one of those ones in captivity, I would have been getting one of them Babylonian horses after Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did that thing in the fire. And I'm picking up swords, spears, or whatever. I said, let's go, paint my face, blue on one side, white on the other. We see younger people later on just have no real faith, no real hiding place, because they've watched ours. The people of that place. Been in this thing called walking with God for a couple minutes. You know, one of the things that I found for those that make it, they have found the secret place. Show me someone that has navigated deep waters and difficult seas, and I will show you a person that has found the secret place. When you haven't found that place, then you will settle for a very cheap substitute. Can I say this morning, you are as close to Him this morning as you want to be. And no matter how hard you may want to try, you can't blame your absence from there on anyone but yourself. You ever watch a little child? When things get hectic, when they get scary? I was somewhere the other day and there was a little child. I went to introduce myself. You know what they did? What'd they do? You said, Huh? Oh, you just chuckled. When I went to introduce myself, scary guy. Scary me, huh? They hid behind their parent. Why is it that they have that natural tendency? You know why? Because that's the one that's been there for them. They didn't go. I didn't see this little girl grab her cell phone. She didn't run to the telephone. She didn't go over here. She went right to the place that she knew could be a place of protection. First thing that I notice is David described the people of that place. Can it be said of you that you as well are one of the people of this place? Noah, do you have difficult days? Sure you do with McKaylee in the house, huh? Right? Right, McKaylee, you have difficult days? Surely you do with Noah in the house, right? Are you an extrovert in the home? Introvert? What do you do in your little introverted place? Nothing. You read, don't you? You read a lot? You read quite a bit, don't you? Not as much as you should. I'm not talking about the Bible necessarily. You read all kinds of other books, right? Get in that thing. Find you verses. Corrie Ten Boom, to do what she had done, had to have found a hiding place there. Because watch this. When you squeeze an orange, what comes out of it? What kind of juice? Apple juice? Orange juice. The people of that place. Secondly, this next characteristic. See if you can find it. He that dwelleth in the secret place, I said, is the people. He that dwelleth, the people of the place, that dwelleth in the secret place, the persistence of this place. What's the persistence? Dwelling. You think when we sing that song, dwelling in Beulah land? People always want to say when they cross the River Jordan, that's a picture of going into heaven. No, it isn't. That's going into the abundant Christian life. Joshua is a book of battle. It's a book of war. It's a book of consistency. It's a book of persistency. He that dwelleth in the secret place. The word dwelleth means to sit down, dwell, remain, settle, continue. David first described the people of this place. Now he describes to us the persistence of this place. You want a secret place? It may just take some persistence. Sitting. Dwelling. What did Paul do for 3 years after he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Sat. 3 years and just absorbed. Everything began to make more sense to him. Discipleship is important in the church. Understanding what God does, what He provides for us. That's Sunday school. It's amazing to me the amount of people that don't even go to Sunday school class. Well, I'm older. Sunday school is for the kids. Is it? Is it? I didn't know that. I thought discipleship was a lifelong thing. I thought walking with God was something I need. Getting in the Sunday school is designed in certain ways. We group them together with certain age groups because we understand what that's like. You know, Brother Colossus leading the soon to be in the grave. Is that what the, what's the name of that one? Brother O'Malley. What did Brother O'Malley name it? What? Edge of Eternity Sunday school class. But listen, there's a lot of things, man. Mom and I are talking more about what it's going to look like at retirement. We've heard before other people, listen, if you don't have a hiding place and you're on a fixed income, and all of a sudden gas goes from $2.75 to $4.49. Where's that coming from? The widow, she had her oil, and Elijah just introduced her to this secret place. And all of a sudden now she realized that what Elijah had, she could have. You follow what I'm saying? The persistence, but you ain't gonna find it unless you stay there. That woman with the issue of the blood, she was persistent. She'd spent all, she'd done all, she'd traveled all, she'd figured something out. She had to go to Him, and when she got to Him, then all of a sudden she found what she needed. You want a secret place? It may take some persistence, sitting, dwelling, remaining, settling, continuing. Can I tell you that that is the biggest obstacle to the people of that place? And why so few find this place? They don't want to be persistent. Consistently in those, what do you call them? The cards? What are those? From camp. Decision cards. Consistently, you know what they all said? In one way, shape, or form? I want to read my Bible. I want to read my Bible. Ask yourself this. Well, things have been difficult, been up and down, problem, troubles, everything. What is the persistence of you reading Scripture? Or is it just, well, you know, out of convenience, I downloaded this app, I saw it on a reel, and it would provide me with a verse of Scripture every day. That ain't dwelling. That isn't dwelling. And in our lack of persistence, we will never find all the other things that can be found there. We sang that song, I have found a friend in Jesus. They had to have been looking. Now I know church isn't the secret place, but it describes it and shows us how to find it. Or should I say, find Him. The average person won't be persistent enough to find this place. Ask yourself this question. I can't answer it for you. How persistent are you with going to that secret place and talking with Him? You guys want to have a good marriage? How many days is it? 76. Hours? Minutes? So you. What is what you? 1830 something minutes? Hours till you get married? Just put your hands over your ears. Just put your hands. O-B-E-D. No, just Him. Remind Him of this down the road. You want to have a wonderful marriage? Find your secret place. Because how can two sinners get together and not have conflicts? learning to, oh, Douglas, are you an under or an over? Toilet paper. You're an over? You're an over? There you go. I'm helping. Marital counselor of the week right here. Hello, hello. Washcloths, back of the sink now. Soap, pump, bar. Pump. Oh, see, well, here we go. It can be. This is going to be difficult. You're going to have to find that secret place. Because guess what? In that secret place, God will share with you His over, His under, His bar, His pump. And He'll say, if I can tolerate you, you can tolerate Him, her. I'm trying to help. Mike, I'm trying to help him. The persistence of the place. How persistent are you with going to that secret place and talking with Him? You go frequently enough, and it will then lead you to the next characteristic David gives us about that place. Let me give you these. Whet your appetite. You can go look at them later. Verse 1c, the peculiarity of that place. What's peculiar about it? He said the secret place, what? Of the Most High. What did, what's her name again? Punchinello's friend? Lucia. Lucia, what? You said potato, she said potato. What is it? Lucia. When you read, nothing. It was a noisome pestilence. Don't listen to him. Do you know why we'd give that book to the children? The concept behind that book. One of the five books I read in my life that changed my life. Lucia told Punchinello, if you go up there, He'll change the dynamics of everything. He'll change the night. Why? Because it's a peculiar place. When I find my secret place and I go to my secret place, it's peculiar because He says things to me that others don't. He treats me like others don't. He spends time with me like others don't. It's a peculiar place because it's the secret place of what? The Most High. We enter into that place and we have an appreciation. Now, I know the secret place is a person. But I'm going to tell you what, that blue truck out there, man, there's some times we have some conversations. I had a noisome fowler tried to get me the other day. Another place that is my secret place is my lawnmower, Miss Linda. If I get on my lawnmower and I put them headphones on, it's over. I just wave at Libby on the deck. She'll be. ZTR. And all I got to do is just kick it that one way. It'll just spin, put my back to her, and just. What she might have to say to me is important. But what He has to say to me in that moment is more important. I can't help her unless I'm there. You can't help anybody else unless you're there. How are you going to help somebody if you don't go there to get something for yourself? Those little things that drop down in the airplane, they tell you, the nature of us probably is to help somebody else. Lindsay, if one of your kids was on the airplane, and you, the first thing you'd be doing, I just know, you'd be trying to put the mask on Bubba, and he'd be his new little thing. But you can't help him till you get it on you. And you can't help somebody else with their situation, no, at the water fountain, unless you put the mask of peculiarity with the Lord on your face. Because when you're there, then you can come out like David and say, oh man, taste and see. The Lord is good. The people of that place, he that dwelleth, the persistency of that place, dwelling, the peculiarity of that place, of the Most High. David tells us it is peculiar. Why? Because of who is there. 53 times in Scripture this title or phrase is used, the Most High. The first time this reference is used is in reference to Melchizedek. And what makes this place peculiar? It is where he is. I will say this, it will be first found in secret. But then once found, it can be experienced wherever you may go. My foundation to my Christian life and the secret place was found in a patrol car. The same patrol car that God saved me in. And I had this moment. This is how I was in my Christian life when I first got saved. I'd be at home and I'd be doing the dad thing. I'd be doing the husband thing. I'd be doing all that kind of stuff. And I never found the time to read my Bible and do. I'd go to church, I'd do this. Then I'd go back to shift work. When I went to shift work, I'd take my Bible, I'd take my little CBD book of the month. CBD, not to be confused with the other CBD. Just so we're clear on that, words have meaning. I'd take my little book of the club, then I'd take my Bible, get my patrol car, run radar. Probably didn't get my quota for the month, Brother Baldwin. And you know what I was doing? I was in my secret place. I was writing verses on the palm of my hand. I was talking to God. I was meditating with God. And I come home and I started realizing there's a connection here. It's not just a patrol car. It's everywhere. Now I had to find my secret place at home. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It is, as Jesus called it, enter into thy closet. Then Paul later expounded on it and he says, pray without ceasing. You watch people today and you just push them a little bit. They squeeze them a little bit. You squeeze them a little bit and guess what comes out? What they got in their own little place, not the secret place. And what else do you find in there? You find the fruit of the Spirit. The peculiarity of the place. I said, I'll give you these and I'll be done. Here's three more. Write them down. Verse 1d. The protection of the place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, we joked around during COVID. What were the Amish doing? Did anybody else do that? The Amish just carried on business as usual. You know why? They didn't have TV. They didn't have the social media. They didn't have all the stuff. They didn't know what was going on. Do you know what most of our problems are? We spend too much time under the noisome fowler, under the pestilence and everywhere else. And we never have that time with God. You ought to be able to know when your tank's getting empty. And you ought to run to where you can get your tank full. The protection of that place under the shadow of the Almighty. Verses 2 through 8. The praise of that place. David said this. Listen to what he said when he found that place. We ask people Sunday night sometimes, asking for testimonies, biblical testimonies, not your bunions, not your battles, not your bickering, not what you don't have, testimonies. Audible, brief, Christ-honoring. Here's what he said once he got in his secret place. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers. Now He's telling other people what he will do when you find that secret place. He shall cover thee with His feathers. Under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. Do you think David had a secret place when the lion came up? Do you think David had a secret place when the bear came up? Do you think David took what he found in that secret place when he faced the giant Goliath in the valley? And said, Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he shall come against the armies of God? He said, who are you? What are you going to do with him? Well, I'll tell you what he did with me in my secret place with the bear. I'll tell you what he did with me in my secret place with the lion. What's he going to do with this guy? Whoo, pow, bang, over with. And then they wanted to make him a king. It's just saddening sometimes. We want to elevate other people to have a personal walk with God. I'll tell you what, boy, they got just a wonderful... You can have one too. Listen, there's grandkids one day, Grandma. They need to come. My grandma's going to be a grandma that prays. 14 years old, 16 years old, fighting hell about a half acre. Who's she going to go to if she hasn't found her hiding place? And then in that hiding place, you know what you can do? You can teach her that she can have one. The praise of this place. Verses 9 through 16, we see the promise of this place. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High. He is exalting all the other things, the people, the persistence, the protection. He praises God. Then he tells us of the promise of this place. Because thou hast made... No, what did I say? Yeah, the promise of this place. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall trample under. Thou shalt trample under feet. Why? Because he has set his love upon me. And how did he set his love upon me? When I put my nose in this book and I found a place by myself, separate from everybody else, separate from all the noise, separate from all the distractions, separate from everything else, and I sat there and I listened to what he had to say to me, and I took it by faith that this is a love letter from him and these are things that he needed me to know, and all of a sudden I can come out of there with a squirt pistol and attack hell. Because why? Because I found that secret place. We are living in the most discouraging days in church. Our song service was over. Did anybody look? That's our praise. Jacob sits up here and twists arms trying to get us to just, and the scriptural stuff we're singing. And then we walk out of here defeated. No one. Listen, I'm trying to keep myself together. And pastors all over the world are these personal exhortation coaches. That's what the new thing is: skinny jeans, untucked shirt. You can be the best you, man. Inspirational coaches instead of just pointing them to the Word of God. This is what I found in there. Go find it for yourself. Open that thing up. Pull it out of the closet once in a while. Open that thing up. Read a few verses of Scripture. Don't fiddle with your thumb. Imagine if we spent as much time in our Bible as we did our phone. How it would change. There's promises. This book, if I can just put it in its most simplest form, is a book of principles, precepts, if you will, and promises. Spend some time there. Preacher says, I can have a secret place. Go find it. Go find it. Hide somewhere. Don't come out of there. Take you a bottle of water. Take you some Lance snack crackers. Say, I'm going to the wood line. I'll never forget this. It is not a place, but it starts in a place. Not the most hardest time. At the time, it was the most hardest time. Place I'd ever gotten to in my life. That little parsonage in Cowpen, South Carolina. And I was just walking around one day and I found these little berry bushes. I started looking at them and I saw this other thing, and it was where the deer were coming through there. I got down on my hands and knees and went in there. And then when I got in there, there was just like a little circle where they bedded down in there. How many times? Just went in there. My life spinning out of control. And I just sat my little self down in that little patch of grass with all these little, you know, those berry bushes have those little pricklies on them. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody coming in there. And God became a refuge for me. This church and your home will never get any further than the refuge you go to find. I tell Libby sometimes when I come home, I just need a moment. There's too many people. There's too many problems. There's too many marriages. There's too many difficulties. There's too many financial things. I'm just one person. And I find that, whew, man, God and I have had some good times in that truck. Thank goodness it's a Dodge. I've had some glorious times on that lawnmower. Headphones on, just listening to music. Worshiping God. Can I say this? If your worship is only contained within the few minutes we had this morning, you are missing out on so much. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you have a secret place? In that secret place, can you pour your heart out? Can you come out of there and look like you've spent some time with God? Because I don't know if you've looked around lately. There's a lot of hurting people. And if you can't find them, you can't help anybody else find them. Father, we'd ask you to help us this morning, I plead. God, thank you for the difficulty that David went through in the cave, running for his life, because it was in those moments he found you. And he found what he testified of in this psalm that has helped countless millions probably through the ages read of who you are in the secret place. Lord, I realize it's not a location. It's a person. And that person is you. And I thank you for it. Lord, if there's somebody in here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that you'd speak to their heart. I pray their appetite would have been wet this morning, that all they have to do is come to you. Lord, if there's a saint in here struggling this morning, as many should be and surely are, I pray, Lord, that they've reignited, refreshed, or just desired to find that place again. In the quietness of the moment, whether there's many children running around, pitter-patter of feet or whatever, finding a place to find refuge in you and read what you'd have to say to them. Whatever our state is this morning, I pray that you'd help us. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for all that you do. Lead us into an invitation, Lord. Draw us to you, I plead, this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's all